For joining us for this lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ is located at 1303 Evangel Drive, Huntsville, Alabama, 35816, and can be reached by phone at area code 256-837-8730. Anytime you're in the Huntsville area, we would love to have you join us for worship or Bible study. Worship service is held every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, with Bible study immediately following at 10:15. Evening services begin at 5. Midweek Bible study is held Wednesday nights at 7. Now, we hope you enjoyed this lesson from God's Word brought to us by Glenn Collins.
I want to continue a lesson I began this morning on the verses of the Bible which contain the word as. Some of these, not all, are similes, but all of them have this in common, the word as. And in each case, what you have is God giving us some sort of an instruction to say, this is how I want you to do this, and then to use the word as to connect with how He wants it to be done, or the degree to which He wants it to be done. Now, I want to quickly touch on five tonight. I know that's a lot, but it won't take very long. Here are verses of Scripture which contain the word as. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 15. This one has to do with, well, let's just open it together. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 15. In fact, let's take the time to turn to each of these and look at it as we go through it. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 15. As He which has called you is holy, be you also holy. Now that's a lofty one, isn't it? I remember when my daughter Hannah was in school, I mean when she was, 12 or 13 years old, and we had a teacher we were taking her to every week to teach her, I don't remember what, but I remember sitting into some of those classes, and I was a little bit surprised because some of the things he taught were way over her head. I know were too old, material that was suited for older children than she. And so after class one day, I went to him and I said, I'm a little bit concerned about this. Some of the things you're teaching her, I can tell you she's not getting. They're going over her head. And he said, oh, I know that, Glenn. It's my teaching philosophy. He says, some of the things I teach she will get, but I want to teach things that she doesn't get just so she'll become familiar with concepts. She'll get them later, but I want to start familiarizing her with these things right now. Well, that was pretty interesting. And the idea is that here's a great goal out there that she's maybe never going to reach, but she's got some familiarity with it and she's reaching toward it. Sometimes a young man will play a sport in high school and be pretty good at it. But then he graduates high school and goes to college and he plays with the big boys. And at that time, you know, it may be significantly more challenging for him. Now, get this. He says, I want you to be holy as He which has called you is holy. He's talking about Christ. He's talking about Jesus. Now, this is very similar to Matthew 5 and verse 48. He says, I want you to be perfect as God is perfect. How are we going to do that? Well, you'll never reach that, of course. And the word holy means pure and clean. And the idea is without sin. And Christ never has sinned. But the idea, though, is not to discourage us. The idea is that we're reaching toward a goal. You know, Philippians chapter 2, and the Bible says, let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. And every day we cultivate this. In other words, our goal is not to be like each other. It's not to say, you know, my close friends are my standard by which I determine if I'm a faithful Christian or not. My goal is Jesus. Our goal is to be holy as He is holy. We reach toward that goal. Am I ever going to be as pure as Christ? The answer, of course, is no. But that's the goal to which we strive. Be ye also holy, as he which hath called you is holy. And here's the second one. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. This one's familiar to you. Have you ever thought about the word as in this verse? As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. As babies desire milk, I want you to desire the word of God. Well, now, no, nobody misunderstands this, because this is simple. We all know about babies and food, and they want it when they want it. And there's an eager, there's a passion for it. I want it now. And I don't care if it's 2 o'clock in the morning, get up and bring it. Let's go. Right? Well, the idea is that I'm to really want the Word of God. I mean, it ought to come to flame in my hands when I study it. How are you doing with your Bible study? Never, may I urge that you never, ever let your Bible study degenerate down to the point where what you get from this pulpit is all you get of the Word of God. Oh, I want you to listen to the sermons, but what we need to be doing is private study too. How are you doing on your private Bible study? Now, sometimes I know Christians will say, well, I've tried to study the Bible, but, you know, I don't know where to start. I jump into a chapter and it becomes confusing. I become discouraged and then I stop. Find you a system. Find a system with which to really learn the Bible. For example, did you know that you can read the New Testament all the way through in 1 month if you read 9 chapters a day? 9 chapters a day. Now, do the math, but that's easy. You know, you could read 3 chapters a day, and in 3 months you'd have the New Testament all read. You know what I'm doing right now? I'm listening to the Bible on CD in my car. It's not hard to do, of course. That's easy, and you can buy them at Books-A-Million, or you can go online at Amazon.com or eBay, and you can get the Bible on CDs. And when you're driving, you're going to listen to something probably. Why not listen to the Word of God? Why not set yourself a goal and say, in this period of time, I'm going to listen to the entire New Testament or Old Testament. And what you'll find as you're driving is that your mind won't always be right on the text, but it's still beneficial, I think, as a study tool. I'm listening, you know, and I'll pick up things and verses that I never have thought of before, and it's a great way to study the Word of God. What if you took a book of the Bible and you read it all the way through once a week for 2 months, and you kept a pad of paper there? But read the book of Acts. You can read the book of Acts in one sitting. Keep a pad of paper there, and as you read through the book of Acts, make notes of things that you don't understand, that are curiosities to you. And then in that week, get you a good commentary or someone who knows the book of Acts and talk to him. Figure that out. Find out the answer to that question. Get to the bottom of that. At the end of those 2 months, 8 weeks, you'll have read the book of Acts all the way through 8 times in a serious way. You know what? You're going to end up knowing the book of Acts in a way that you haven't ever known it before. Find you a systematic way. Suppose you take a concept, something that you find interesting, and you get a concordance, and you run all the verses in the Bible that contain that word. And you do that in a serious way. I mean, you contemplate, you meditate on those verses. What is this verse saying? What is its context in reference to that subject I found interesting? And don't stop till you finish every verse in the Bible on that subject. You know what will happen, don't you? You'll become more and more like a newborn babe desiring the sincere milk of the Word. Here's the next one. This one's very familiar to you. What about 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 2? Here's a verse which uses the word as. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Now this is interesting, and I think it can have a couple of different meanings. We're supposed to give of our means in the church as part of the body of Christ, and we do that as we've been prospered. I think one significance to that is that a person who is not employed, who is not making any money, isn't obligated to give. Yeah, I'm thinking about a teenager, for example. When should a teenager start contributing from his own money? Well, when he gets a job. That's when he should. And when he gets a job, no matter how small amount he's making, he ought to contribute from that amount to the Lord's work. Right? Sometimes people will ask me, what if I... You know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 16:2 to do this on the first day of the week, but I only get paid once a month. What about that? And sometimes I'll say, well, give as you've been prospered. And if you're prospered once a month and give once a month, if you prefer, I think it's fine to divide it out. I think that's one plausible significance to as he's been prospered. But I think the greater one is this. It's not about how much I'm giving. It's about the heart with which I give it. You want me to help you make giving real easy? There's a way to do this, you know. 1 Corinthians 9 says, we ought to give not grudgingly or necessity, but give cheerfully. You want to know how to make it easy? Well, digest this verse, 1 Corinthians 16:2. On the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store. How should I do that? As or in view of the fact that God has prospered me. You see, our problem is that we spend so much time thinking about what we've got and how much of it we're going to give to the Lord. It's not like going to the grocery store. You go to the grocery store and you give because you want to get. You go to the gas pump and you shout and scream, but you give it. You give because you want to get. But contribution is different. It's backwards from that. See, we get, and that's why we give. And the point of this verse is that, not to say, it doesn't give a percentage. This isn't about a percentage. You know, we get some idea about that from the Old Testament. They started at 10% and gave beyond that. I think that's, you know, he didn't mean when he said give as you've been prospered. He didn't mean I want you to get your paycheck and sign the back and put it in the plate. It's true always, Old and New Testaments, he wanted us to give a portion of what we have earned and not all of it. That's not what he means. It doesn't mean to give all of it. He means to give a portion of it. But what he's emphasizing here is the heart with which we give it. And that is to say, my, hasn't God been good to me? And I want to give in view of the fact that God has prospered me. Here's number four. It's 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as it were the oracles of God. I love that. Of course, that's very personal to me as a preacher. It's about preaching and teaching. And if you stand up to present the word to the people, you be sure that you're presenting the word. Now, oracles, that's a big word. We don't use that very much. It's used over in Hebrews 5 and verse 12. He says, now, while some of you ought to be teachers, you have need be that somebody teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. Now, oracle simply means, are you ready? Utterances. Words of God. Words. It's like Matthew 4 and verse 4. You know, Jesus said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word which proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's oracles. That's all that means. If any man speak, let him speak as it were the oracles of God. And the emphasis there is not really complicated. It is that there's got to be a difference between a sermon and an entertaining speech. There's got to be a difference. And when we stand up, you know, James chapter 3 says, now, be not many masters or religious teachers, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation, the stricter condemnation. Why is that? Because we are setting ourselves up as teachers of God's Word. What if we don't do that? What if it degenerates down? What if it gets corrupted where what the preacher is about is drawing attention to himself and not presenting the Word of God? Then he's failed. He's failed. And he'll do more harm than good. And therefore, James says in James 3, there's a stricter condemnation. That's a serious matter. If any man speak, let him speak as the word, the oracles, the utterances of God. And so what we need is book, chapter, and verse preaching. What we need is to get back to the Bible. And would you, we have visitors here tonight from lots of different places. I want you to hold up the hands of gospel preachers who preach like that, who preach the oracles of God. This is my goal, and I believe we accomplished this, that no matter who is in this pulpit, in the West Huntsville Church, I mean, you can predict that you may not know the subject that we're going to talk about it on any given Sunday, but you know that it's going to be from the Word of God. It's got to be from the Word of God. And when you talk to young people, young men who may one day preach the gospel, would you help encourage them? I mean, when you preach, it's got to be the oracles of God. Now here's number five. Here's the last one for today. The greatest prayer you can pray. The greatest prayer you can pray. This is part of the model prayer, and it's in Matthew 6 and verse 10. Jesus is teaching them to pray, His disciples, how to pray. And He said in part of that prayer, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That is to say that the will of God is done completely and perfectly in heaven. Now there was a time, I know that, there was a time when the angels were permitted to choose right from wrong, and some of them sinned. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4, and they were cast out. That's what the Bible says. But that no longer is true, and it won't be true when you get there. The will of God is done in heaven. And this is the desire of God, that His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Have you ever thought about ways you could divide up the will of God? I mean, you can look at it in different ways. You could talk about, for example, the desired will of God or intentional will of God. And that's what you've got here. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promises. He's long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish. He doesn't want anybody to go to hell. But what? But that all will come to repentance. Well, that's God's will, isn't it? Yes. It's God's desired will that all people will come to repentance. Isn't that God's will? Yes. Are all people going to do it? Sadly, no. Despite the fact that it's God's will, not everybody's going to do that. Now, that's God's desired will or His intentional will. All right? You could talk about God's commanded will. Commanded will. And in that, of course, here are His instructions by which we're judged whether or not we'll be faithful to Him. That's His commanded will. Not everybody's going to do that. Hopefully, more and more will. And then ultimately, finally, you've got His ultimate will. Now, the ultimate will of God is that which is going to happen come what may. I mean, it's going to happen. Hebrews 9 and 27 demonstrates His ultimate will. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that comes the judgment. Is that going to happen? Oh, yeah. Well, what if people choose not to attend? Well, see, it doesn't matter because they're not the ones who made the appointment. God made the appointment. It is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment's going to happen. That's God's ultimate will. In this passage, in this prayer, and a prayer, we ought to pray this sentiment. Isn't this the greatest thing to pray? Father, Thy will be done on earth. You say we're about to face an election. You a little nervous about that? You a little scared of that? Mm-hmm. This is a great prayer to pray right now, Mark. Great prayer to pray. Father, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hebrews 12 says that those people who have gone on, those righteous saints who, left us such a great example. He says, we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. So, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross and despising the shame, and He sat down at the right hand of God. Here are passages where the Bible says, here's what I want you to do. You want to follow me, here's how I want you to do it, or do what I want you to do, and here's how to do it. Do it as in these things. And I hope you've enjoyed the study. I wonder if there's someone here this evening who wants to obey the gospel. We're going to offer the opportunity and our assistance to anybody who would like to become a Christian tonight. You can repent of your sins and confess Jesus, and we'll be happy to baptize you into Christ. This very night, everything is ready. We've got a pool of water, and we've got clothing here, and you can leave tonight knowing what it is to have all your sins washed away and walk in the light. You can leave as a Christian. That'd be great. Maybe there's somebody here who needs the prayers of the Christians, and we're here for that too. This is a wonderful time to pray for each other. And now would be a fine time to let that be known if you have a special need such as that. And you can come forward down one of these aisles as we sing this song. And if you'd like to do that, let's do it now as we stand and sing. Thank you.
We hope you've enjoyed this lesson from God's Word, brought to you by the West Huntsville Church of Christ. If you would like to continue your study of God's Word with a Bible correspondence course, please contact the church office at area code 256-837-8730.